Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio, and it's Friday. You can catch us on 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. And I'll say it again, it's Friday. Congratulations, we've all made it together. August 1st, first day of August, 2025. 74 degrees out there, it is starting to clear up. Sun is peeking through more and more. When I left, you know, I could see I got a pretty good westerly view, and it looked like it was going to be a nice evening tonight. So if you have plans, make sure you enjoy them. It's going to be a little cool tonight. So, you know, if you are predisposed to being a little chilly or your loved one is as well, make sure they bring something to cover up with because it will be a little cooler than it's been. Let's just leave it at that. It's still a beautiful summer night. Going to be a beautiful summer weekend. 309 here at the studio, 74 degrees outside. So lots of stuff. You gonna have any plans tonight or this weekend? Text it into us. Let us know what you're doing. Don't have much going on. I have a couple of barbecues to go to, some work around the house. Other than that, my homemade pizza tonight from the missus, it's all good. Maybe even a fire if we can muster one up. See how tired I am when I get home. But let us know what you're doing as well. 570-883-0098. You can text it in, and you know, we'll chirp them out as the show goes on today. If you are planning to have an appeal hearing for your property reassessment in Lackawanna County, you need to run down to the county office now because your time is running out. Today is the last day to file for that formal appeal for your property assessment to be reviewed. So if you're planning on it, if you're thinking about it, if you want to do it, if you are just even thinking about it, I would go down there, pay the fee, and apply for your hearing, then start doing the research if you need to do. Better safe than sorry. You better have it in than not have it in and have to wait, you know, next year, a year after, whatever the terms may be on that. Because although the next story is not Lackawanna County related, it is related to your property assessment, your property taxes. And this is a story that's just coming out today from the Times Tribune. Christine Lee, who often covers the schools in our area, but most, and I figure we'll get the bad news out of the way early in the show so we can move on. Most Lackawanna County property owners are going to see a tax increase this year in their school taxes. Yes, that's correct. And some of them are a lot higher than normally we've seen. And we're going to go through them here. Carbondale area Riverside school districts did not implement a tax increase in their budget. And the Scranton School District works on a calendar year budget. So they have also not instituted a tax increase in their budget, keeping their millage at 147.8. But the districts that implemented the largest tax increases were Abington Heights, Dunmore, Lakeland, Mid-Valley, North Pocono, all of which raised taxes about or around or above 5%. That's correct. North Pocono School District implemented the largest tax increase in Lackawanna County at 8.7%. The district also implemented a tax increase of less than 1% for residents in Lehigh Township in Wayne County, as a few of their areas do go to North Pocono School District. To go through the school districts in our area, for Lackawanna County mostly, Abington Heights instituted a 4.7% tax increase. Carbondale area, like we said earlier, no tax increase. So good for you, Carbondale. Dunmore, a 5.2% tax increase. Forest City Regional, a 4% increase for Vandling residents, a 6.89% increase for Susquehanna County residents, and a 3.2% increase for Wayne County residents. So a mixture of because people live in different counties in that school district. Lackawanna Trail, a 3.7% increase for Lackawanna County residents and less than a 1% for Wyoming County residents. Lakeland, my home school district, wonderful, a 5.2% increase. Mid-Valley, a 4.64% increase. North Pocono, like we said, an 8.7% increase. And for those who live in Lehigh Township, 1% increase. Old Forge, 2.4 mil increase. Residents with a property value. It doesn't say the percentage. It just says a 2.4 mil percent mil increase. Riverside will see no tax increase like we announced. Valley View, a 3.2% increase. And again, this is all based on your property value assessment. So that is going to change for everyone in Lackawanna County. And again, the school districts won't know that exact number until they have that formula worked out from the county. So I guess we're all in this together, right? I guess we'll see, unless you live in Riverside or Carbondale, where it really doesn't affect you this budget term. Now, most of the school districts, as per this story, as I scroll back here, are citing increased costs in salary, health care, cyber charter schools as a reason for implementing tax hikes in their district budgets. You notice it's not we're spending more on your children. We're increasing programming for your children. It's just the costs are going up for staffing, healthcare, and cyber charter schools, which more and more families are moving to. And does that send a message? I don't think it's being received as the message it really is of people want choices or better education. So does that change your plan to run down to the county office right now or get it in the mail postmarked today, so you'd have to run to your post office to make sure it's postmarked, to file for your appeal for your property assessment? We've been told all along, and just in the new, because Tyler Technologies was just hired by Monroe County to do their property reassessment, that one-third of properties will go down their property taxes, one-third will stay the same, one-third will increase. And we've been told this by our elected officials. We've been told this by the contracted companies themselves. We've been told this from employees of the reassessment offices or the property tax offices from the counties. And again, it's one of their mainstays. It was just published in the article where Monroe County was using Tyler Technologies, where they said, again, commonly, and it's commonly, one-third go down, one-third stay the same, one-third go up. What I haven't heard yet is a commitment from county leadership stating that we will get exactly those percentages when all is said and done. I want to know the exact percentage, not the amount or anything like that, even though it's public information, you can actually go search it for any individual property. But I want the exact percentage of properties in Lackawanna County that did go down, that did stay the same, and that did rise. And if that turns out to be 28%, 32%, 28%, or 26%, 34%, 24%, whatever that percentage is fine. But I think we deserve, because we haven't had the full transparency in this, regardless of the lies they tell you. They could have given us an estimated amount of tax with the last notice we've gotten. They chose not to. Remember that. They chose not to because it was going to change. And yes, that's what an estimate is. And the fact that they have only received about a third of appeals that they were expecting, well, that estimate would have been closer to being right. It would have changed still, but 2,800 or under 3,000 applications for a hearing, an appeal hearing, is a lot different than 7,000 or 8,000. So if they would have provided, other counties who have used Tyler Technologies have, on their letters where this is your property value now, and here's an estimate in big red letters of what your future tax possibly could be. That is subject to change, again, in big red letters. I've seen the notices. They could have did that. They chose not to. The people in charge of this process chose not to give us that information. And I think having that information would have guided people one way or another. Should we definitely appeal? Is it not worth it to appeal? But we've also been told time and time again by these same leaders that commonly, and that gives them, you know, a little leeway there, one-third go down, one-third stay the same, one-third go up. Okay, if that's the case, I want a commitment from them, and I want people to hold them accountable to this. Every time you see them, ask them this, because I'm going to. Publicly state those percentages once you come to your conclusion. Once all the appeals are done in November and you're about to give these numbers out, the final tax rate and the formula to school districts and townships that are going to use it for that assessment value. I want to know the exact percentages of homes in Lackawanna County that went down, stayed the same, and increased. Because if that's way off, then stop telling people that when you're trying to push this sort of thing through. And if they hide that information, it should be very easy information to gather, and it should be very transparent information. They keep saying it time and time again, so they have to have something to back that up with. Let us know. It would make me feel a little better knowing that that was the case. Listen, a third of our residents here in Lackawanna County did better, a third stayed the same, and a third went up. Because that's what we were told from the start. That's what we were promised as a guide from the start. Okay, so give us those exact numbers, because you haven't been very transparent through this. Again, they could have given us the estimate tax that we would be paying. That would be subject to change. Again, I keep saying that because that's the reason why they didn't give it to us, because they said it was going to change. Okay, well, we're big boys and girls, all homeowners who have our own property tax bills and pay our bills and have our mortgages or had our mortgages or, you know, live in the big adulting life. We could have dealt with, here's a formula, here's a form of your property value, here's the estimated tax subject to change. We understand what that means. But they chose not to give us that information. So you add that reassessment now to school districts, all but two in our area, and a third, Scranton School District, who works off a different calendar budget, are the only ones not raising the taxes, where most of them are around 5% or better. Again, another burden on the taxpayers of Lackawanna County that's being leveled on us, one on top of the other. So if you are looking to have your property assessment appealed officially, you don't have much time to do it. Matter of fact, you got very little time to do it. So it's almost too late, but not yet too late. An hour and a half, it's going to be. So does this change your mind of wanting to maybe have an official appeal, knowing that school districts are going to base these increases as well off whatever new numbers you have for your property value? It's 3:22 here at WILK. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. During the break, our news department came in and said that they believe that the office of tax in Lackawanna County closes at 4 o'clock, so you really just have a half hour to get there. But I believe if it's postmarked by today, it will still be accepted. You can give them a call and find out if that's your last-minute decision. And right now, it would be a very last-minute decision. Again, from our news department here, they're saying that the office closes at 4 o'clock. And I haven't heard anything about them extending the hours there. And again, I just haven't heard anything. They may be, but do you think they would be? Somebody said, can the citizens of Lackawanna County appeal the taxes after they finished with their assessment? I remember going through the Luzerne County some time ago, and after the fact, we had the opportunity to appeal. They have a normal appeal process, an appeal board. I don't know, because of the reassessment, do you have to wait till after next year? I'm not sure of the waiting period there, but I think you can appeal your taxes, you know, your tax rate. They do have a normal appeal board there, and they've added extra auxiliary boards because of this reassessment. So there is a process to have your property reassessed and an appeal to go before their normal board. What the restrictions are with that, I don't know. So Ms. Rob, did you ever hear from Lackawanna political figures on why their appraisals were extremely lower than others? There was a mix, but every single one that I checked, their appeal was lower than what the market websites are saying their house was worth, which I find it found odd. And listen, this is just part of a puzzle of information that I've been gathering and keeping and continuing to look at. When their official numbers are out like ours are, it'll give me more to look at and compare to past to present. And I guess we'll see where it stands at that point. And again, it's Friday, trying to get the bad news out of the way here. Did you see this attorney who won an appeal in a deadly wrong-way crash for challenging his blood being taken while in the hospital, even though it was not tested until after a search warrant was obtained? Shavertown attorney sentenced to serve up to 6 years in a state prison for causing a deadly wrong-way crash after drinking a bottle of vodka on the northeast extension of the Pennsylvania Turnpike has had his conviction overturned with the state's superior court, finding that his constitutional rights were violated during the investigation. While in the hospital after the accident, the hospital did take a blood sample, but it was not tested for alcohol content until after the state police acquired a search warrant. And what his attorneys are saying in a synopsis, and this is oversimplifying the case, I'm not going to get into the details. What his attorney said is that the hospital did not take the blood for routine medical purposes. They did not take it and test it for his care at that time. They took the blood and saved it for what turned out to be a later testing after a search warrant was obtained for his blood alcohol content. And there, the defense attorney said there was no other reason for taking the blood, therefore the taking of the blood was illegal. Now, it appears based on the finding of the court, if the hospital would have taken blood and done a wide spectrum of testing for his medical care at that time, the emergency care for the accident, and also had a blood alcohol level on there, this may have survived this challenge of an unconstitutional search. That's what this turns out to be. Because of the blood was taken without probable cause or legitimate medical purpose, there is a constitutional protection of unreasonable search, which that's what this was. I've seen some posts on social media. A lot of people aren't very happy with this, but the court processes, and listen, here is an attorney who was a major partner in a local law firm who went through this, obviously had good legal representation, which is why these cases are important, which is why who we have investigating cases from the start to the finish. And I'm not saying anyone did anything wrong here. It appears that when they look at everything in totality, because nothing here says that law enforcement told hospital staff, take blood because we're going to need it for later. They took blood because it was their procedure. They just didn't use it for anything at that time. So looking at the case here, court documents, he argued that he should have suppressed the results of the blood drawn because there was no evidence hospital personnel drew the blood for independent medical purposes. Instead, the blood was taken for purposes of criminal case state police were initiating without having previously established probable cause, he argued. The opinion filed Tuesday in Superior Court agreed. The judges noted that the hospital drew his blood and locked it in a vial, but did not analyze it for alcohol until troopers attained a search warrant more than a month later. No evidence of record indicates that the hospital drew the blood for independent medical purposes and that the evidence reflects that the blood drawn occurred pursuant to the hospital's perceived duty under the motor vehicle statute, the judge wrote. Based on the foregone, the blood drawn violated his rights under both the Fourth Amendment and the United States Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, of the Pennsylvania Constitution. Judges went on to write that the search warrants the troops subsequently filed to get the sample of the blood did not cure the defect in the illegal blood draw to begin with. So here's a case where you had good legal representation review what exactly had happened and found a loophole. And the loophole is that no one really did anything wrong. Hospital was doing what they normally do. But instead of doing a medical independent evaluation for the patient care, they said, well, we'll just take the blood and store it, and if law enforcement needs it for later. And that you can't do, because you are then acting as an agent for law enforcement and it would require a search warrant. So if they would have tested it under the normal spectrum of hospital care, where anytime I've gone into a hospital, they've taken blood to do a spectrum of blood work, because they want to see what's wrong with you most of the time, depending on what you're going in for. Obviously, if you have a sprained ankle, they're not going to take your blood. But if you go in after a major car accident, they very well might. Are there internal injuries? Is there internal bleeding? Is your blood putting out white blood counts, red blood counts? You know, what's the? Do you have a prior infection that we need to deal with just in case you do start bleeding? So it just goes to show you that the law should be followed, and I think it was here, but it also protects those in cases even though they probably don't deserve it. We'll see if this gets appealed moving forward, but at this point, that's the story from our area. It's 3:32 here at WILK. Time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It is 3:30, almost 3:38 here, 75 degrees on this Friday, August 1st. Got a text message on that last story. Hey, Rob, how does it make sense that no matter what the end result is, this is still the same? That someone lost their life based on a drunk driver regardless of when they tested, took his blood, and there's no consequences. Unfortunately, due to constitutional protections, when mistakes are made, especially in procedure and law when it comes to someone's constitutional rights, they could be very detrimental to the case. So, unfortunately, I hear what you're saying, but you have to be proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. And if there were what we call fruits of the poisonous tree, the evidence brought against you was illegally obtained, but for whatever reason, it damages that case. And yes, otherwise guilty people do walk free because of procedural errors. And that appears to be what they're saying here. So, yeah, it sucks, but those constitutional rights are there for our protection. So you have to take the good with the bad. The state is distributing free potassium iodine tablets to resident near nuclear facilities here in Pennsylvania. The Pennsylvania Department of Health is coordinating a statewide distribution of free potassium iodine tablets on August 14th for all Pennsylvanians who live, work, and study within 10 miles of the four active nuclear power plants in the state. The distribution of the K1 tablets, which reduce the risk of thyroid cancer from exposure to radioactive iodine, is done as a precautionary measure associated with emergency preparedness planning. These are easy to obtain for anyone. I have a stockpile of them at my house. I recommend that anyone does. This day and age, with the threat of dirty bombs and nuclear exposure for who knows what. Like I said, very inexpensive to have. Very inexpensive to get. You can get them online, find them online and get them online. If you live in these areas, you can get them. The Susquehanna Steam Electric Station will be giving them out in their area. There's a whole bunch to list here, so I'm not going to get into that. But if you live near one of these areas, you probably know where you can get these tablets. And it's just a precautionary area. It prevents your thyroid from absorbing radioactive material if you are exposed to it. It's another level of protection. Minor as it is, but it is better than nothing. So, you know, unless you have the proper ventilation and suits and such, which a lot of us don't have, even the ones I do have offer very minimal protection for a very short amount of time. But again, it's better than nothing. But I do keep a supply of the iodine tablets in my go bag just in case. So you don't need to get them free from the state. If you could, that's a good thing, but you don't have to. And like I said, they're easy to get on your own and to keep stored. and you rotate the cycle out, you throw them away, and you get new ones, you know, when they are expired. I highly recommend having them on hand just in case. And again, it's just in case. There's no threat, but with the threats of dirty bombs and you know, nuclear adversaries attempting to gain more and more capability, it's just something to have in your medical cabinet or in your go bag as a precaution, especially if something happens, an accident happens, and you need to evacuate that area. You could protect your family by giving it to them and to getting out as you evacuate. So it's 3:42 here at WILK. We'll be back with the Rob O'Donnell Show. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It is coming up on 3:45 here, 74 degrees. We got the Bloomberg Money Minute coming up in about 5 minutes here. So, you know, I figured with the cost of this and, you know, summer vacation still in full swing, a lot of people decide to go on cruises, not only during the summer, but in the fall. A sick cruise passenger is furious after getting hit with a shocking bill. It's not the bar bill. That was my shocking bill after the cruise that I went on. My bar bill was higher than my cruise bill. They got more than they asked for. There's nothing worse than getting sick on vacation, especially if your getaway is out to sea on a confined ship. Frustrated traveler has taken to Reddit to share not only how bad their recent experience was getting ill on a Norwegian cruise ship, but also how expensive it was. The disgruntled cruise ship passenger warned, "Don't get sick on a cruise ship," above a picture of a lengthy itemized medical bill. The original poster came off that cruise with a tan. Well, thankfully she recovered and got a tan. But a medical bill of $9,750.86. If you look closely, it seems that 21 different tests were performed on the patient, which totaled around $8,761, and then an additional $618.59 for medications and $380 for supplies. It's unknown what exactly the cruise goer came down with, but it obviously was bad. Now, many empathetic repliers took to the comments section to post to share similar sickly experiences. Now, I think the most that anyone I know has had to get the seasick shot, and that's not cheap, but it's not $9,000 expensive. My neighbor had to be airlifted off a cruise ship. Fortunately, she's a veteran cruiser and carries enough insurance to mitigate the diabolical costs. "Sorry you had to absorb this," a poster stated. "Over $100 to slap a finger pulse ox sensor on." And that's what they were charged with. And they got charged with a new patient charge. How ridiculous is that? Everyone on the cruise is a new patient. To avoid getting slapped with widely expensive bills like this poor soul, there are a few precautions you can take to avoid getting sick before boarding your next cruise or on the cruise itself. And it's an old adage we all come accustomed to know. Use hand sanitizer and wash your hands thoroughly. Infectious diseases spread quickly on cruise ships because a lot of people share the same space day in and day out for an extended time, relatively close contact, said an emergency medical physician with Northwell's Phelps Hospital. "Always wash your hands after you've been in contact with other people and before you eat, especially. While it's tempting to pig out on the buffet," the doctor said, a family medicine physician at the Northwell's Lenox Hill Hospital explained that it's also an easy way for the neurovirus to spread because of all the shared utensils. "Plentiful of fun food is among the main appeals of a cruise ship, but it's no reason to miss out. However, there are a few basic steps to protect yourself from getting sick. And they're common sense steps that we've all become accustomed to, like I said, because of the COVID fear that they've forced upon us that kind of just went nowhere. I'm not a big cruiser. I don't like cruises. The cruise I went on was very nice. We went to Bermuda. We cruised through a hurricane, Hurricane Ivan back at the time. I believe it was 95 or 96. I think it was 95. And basically a bunch of cruise ships left New York and they were debating should they go north. But they decided to push through the hurricane and follow one another. And it was interesting, to say the least. I remember sitting on the back of the ship, the stern of the ship, and all I saw looking across, and this, I was on a Celebrity cruise ship. It was one of the bigger ones at the time. And all I remember seeing from looking at the back of the ship towards the bow, towards the front, was all I saw was sky, and then all I saw was water. That's how big the waves were. And they followed each other through the hurricane. We had about 2 days of severely rough seas. Not many people. Now, I started taking my Dramamine the second we pulled out of New York Harbor. It was fine. Time for the Bloomberg Money. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Coming up on 355, 75 degrees on this Friday, August 1st, 2025. Haven't had anybody chime in on what their plans are tonight or this weekend. Let me know what you're doing. 570-883-0098. Text it in. Let me know if you're planning anything tonight. It looks like it's going to be a really good evening, really nice weekend. So let me know, and we'll see what all you guys are doing this weekend. So, I saw this story, and it's not more so of who it is, because it really doesn't matter in a case like this. Justin Timberlake says he's been diagnosed with Lyme disease, and it's really been taking a toll on him. And the reason I bring it up, not because, and I'm glad he's using his notoriety to let people know about Lyme disease. I've personally known people who have suffered from Lyme disease and are suffering from Lyme disease, and it's truly brutal if you start feeling the full symptoms that you could feel full from it. Just my 22 years here in Northeast Pennsylvania, I've taken my kids. One of my daughters had a nice bullseye rash on her thigh, and we went and got the medication that she needed to take as a precaution. Thankfully, didn't get Lyme disease. If you have ever had your pet's blood tested, most pets in Pennsylvania, Northeast Pennsylvania especially, will test for Lyme disease. Thankfully, our pets don't a lot of times, I'm not going to say never, have the same effects that they have on humans. Ticks have been bad this year. Ticks have been bad. We did have a mild winter. I just know for my property, the fact that I don't have the free roaming chickens anymore, because they wiped out any tick population. We didn't have a single issue with a tick the entire time I had chickens. So if you want to get rid of ticks on your property, get a couple of free-ranging chickens, and that'll take care of your problem right then and there. Other than that, take precautions, especially if you have pets. Make sure they have their precautions for it. If you're out and about all the time, make sure you're aware. Make sure you do checks. As someone who's an avid hunter, it's very common to do checks when you come back from the woods because, like I said, they are prevalent and they have been bad this year. But Lyme disease is no joke. It's something you need to take seriously. If you see that bullseye rash from one of your loved ones, make sure you seek medical attention to get on the protocol as quickly as you can. I've been tested in the past because of my spinal injuries that I've had. A lot of the symptoms I was having with severe headaches and neck pain and such like that mimic Lyme disease. So I was tested thoroughly for Lyme disease, where they literally take a couple of vials of your spinal fluid. So I had to get a spinal tap. It's not very pleasant. Thankfully, I was inpatient. I was in the hospital. I did get morphine, a shot of morphine. That's how extensive the pain is of having a spinal tap. So it's not something that you would like to endure, believe me. And the pain of just the spinal tap and collecting the fluid and the amount of spinal fluid they take out, because there were very limited places that they could send it for the proper testing back then. And I was out on Eastern Long Island, where, again, Lyme disease and ticks are very prevalent. So it's something that you do want to take very seriously. Let me take this call real quick. We have Pat from Scranton on Lyme disease. Pat, I have about a minute and 45.
Hey, Rob, I just wanted to tell you, there's a high percentage of people who don't get the bullseye rash. I had one of the worst cases of Lyme disease that my four doctors and a rheumatologist ever saw. And I went a year undiagnosed, and there was no bullseye.
It doesn't happen always. It's just a sign of it. So, I agree 100% with you. And I've heard a lot of cases like yours where doctors, unless you go to the right one, miss it a lot of times or deny it a lot of times, that it is actually, in fact, Lyme disease.
Yeah, because it's very, very tricky. It's very, very tricky. I tell people, you know, just to wear the bright clothing, wear, you know, you spray on some DEET. Even if it's hot in the woods, you know, you got to do that stuff.
You do indeed. How are you dealing with it now?
It's been more than 10 years, and I have a lot of problems, and because it was undiagnosed for a year, and I have some immunodeficiency problems, but it's probably attributed to that, from what I hear from my docs. So, anyway, hey, listen, my father always said people have it worse.
Well, I'm glad you called with this information, Pat. It's this awareness helps people. And like you said, a year going undiagnosed made it that much more worse. So hopefully people could use this and catch it quicker.
Yeah. And don't rely on that bullseye.
I agree with you there, Pat. Thanks for checking in. It's 4 o'clock here at WILK. We'll be back.